Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that pork's name is now Turbis.
Star Wars fans, this is a special episode of Tatooine Sons where we break down Star Wars Rebels Remembered. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you definitely need to check out Rebels.
Yeah, you will be a Star Wars fan after you check out Rebels, even though the series is over.
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.
Or is it?
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So, on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Good afternoon. We are at the point of Star Wars Celebration where we feel like we may pass out. overwhelmed with Star Wars stuff. But for us, you know, Rebels Remember was an awesome panel. I remember we were walking out of it, and BB Nate, you said almost immediately, that was a great panel. Yeah. Why was that a great panel?
It was just everything was so good about it. Most of the cast coming back together to talk about how much they enjoyed working together on it was a great thing. And Dave Filoni, you know, playing with them. It was a fun panel.
Yeah, and so the background noise that you guys are hearing right now is we are sitting probably 300, 400 feet, maybe not even that far, 100, 200 feet from the Lucasfilm Animation Room, where they just show Clone Wars and Rebels all weekend. And so that's kind of cool, because we're talking about Rebels right now, but that's what the background noise is. Sam, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about like who was on the panel and how they got that started, so that they can kind of get an understanding of who we're talking about here.
The host was Amy Ratcliffe.
Yeah, Amy Ratcliffe, StarWars.com. She was actually the chief editor for Nerdist. But I don't know what she's going to be doing. Don't think it's actually been announced yet, but she did announce a couple of days ago before the con that she's no longer going to be at Nerdist. So we'll see what that is. Maybe it's a Star Wars thing.
And then there was Dave, and there was, Taylor Gray.
Yeah. So to tell our listeners, just in case they haven't, watched Rebels or they're not familiar with the actors, who these people are. So
Taylor Gray is Ezra. Okay. Vanessa Marshall is Hera, and I forget the other girl's name, Sabine's name.
Tia Sakaar.
Yeah, Tia Sakaar is Sabine. So those were all who was there, I think. Am I missing anyone? No, that was it, right?
No, and so explain, BB Nate, who Dave Filoni is for the rest of our listeners, just in case.
He's the animator, writer, director of Clone Wars and Rebels, and he's going to be doing a little bit of Mandalorian.
Yeah, he's directing the first episode, the pilot episode of The Mandalorian, which we'll see the preview of, at least, we're going to get a sneak peek of tomorrow here at Star Wars Celebration. Dave Filoni is known by most Star Wars like enthusiasts, the crazy ones like us, to be the heir apparent to the mythology of Star Wars, which like taking over for George Lucas. He worked directly with George Lucas on the Clone Wars. Obviously, did well with that on Rebels, the Star Wars Rebels show, and he's the executive producer as well of Star Wars Resistance, which that panel's not till Monday. With it. So we went to the panel. The series is over. It ended last April, so about a year ago now. It was our, for those of us that you guys are listening to this podcast, maybe if it's your first time, just a quick heads up on that. Star Wars Remembered is how BB Nate and how Samuel the Hutt sort of really became enthusiastic about Star Wars, watching that, getting engaged with it, going back and catching up on Clone Wars so that we could understand why Maul was in the show. And then moving things forward, that became a big part of our Star Wars fandom. As after Celebration, even before the Celebration 2017, yeah. We were loving it. So why don't we just kind of go around the circle as we do our recap? Not a lot of revelations, really no revelations on this. You could tell that the three cast members, Vanessa, Taylor, and Tia Sakaar, they were sort of relieved to have the opportunity to talk about Star Wars Rebels without really worrying about whether or not they spilled the beans on something. In the previous panels at Star Wars Celebration, they were always asking Dave if they could say certain things. And that kind of even happened with Tia Sakaar at one point towards the beginning. Why don't you share a little bit about what happened with that, Sam?
Okay.
In between yawns. Like I said, we're tired.
I honestly can't remember what brought it up. I just remember that at one point, you know, she looked over at Dave and was asking if it's okay if she says that. So, I don't remember what brought it on, though.
She was trying to ask if it was okay if she told that she was the one that had to read the epilogue and keep the secret from everybody. I think that's what it was for.
Yeah, that's a really cool part of the panel. That was, if there were revelations, it wasn't like plot story revelations or anything like that. It was sort of the behind the scenes understanding the way that everything worked. Dave Filoni talked about this tree of secrecy or whatever, where he has this whiteboard in his offices whenever he's doing a show, and he knows what bits of information different individual employees and people within the cast and people within the production know about the storyline, so that if at any point going forward that information gets leaked out, he knows who did it, because he keeps it very compartmentalized as far as who knows what. And one of those stories is the one you were talking about there, Samuel, with Tia Sakaar and the epilogue and recording that. Why don't you tell that story? That was kind of cool.
So if I remember correctly, it was like the last day of recording, and they were all going out to go get, you know, some food, or, you know, to go to a restaurant to celebrate. And, you know, everyone was leaving, and Dave asked Tia to stay behind. So it was just Dave, Tia, and their sound engineer, something like that. And Dave hands her this handwritten note. He didn't want anything printed, any electronic trace. He handed her this note, which I'm assuming is the script, what she had to say for the final epilogue, right?
Yeah, so in Star Wars Rebels, the finale, there's this epilogue where Sabine is doing a voiceover and explaining what happened with Kallus and Zeb, and or at least explain what happened with the whole Ghost crew. Not really too specific, but just the general, like, wrapping everything up. And you see Zeb and Kallus. You see Jason. We'll talk about that in a second, Sam. Jason and Hera, and then of course you see the Ahsoka stuff. So there was some information there that she was being given from what they said on there, which was really fun, was that Dave wrote it on the airplane from San Francisco on a Southwest flight, which I think is absolutely awesome, that he's just, you know, jumping on a Southwest airplane and flying down to LA for the recordings. But he jumped on the Southwest flight, he wrote it out in his notebook, and then handed it to Tia, and didn't after they finished recording the final episode, they were getting ready to go to a restaurant, the whole cast and some of the crew, for like a celebratory dinner afterwards. And Dave's like, hey, stay behind for just a couple of minutes, and hands her this and has her read this thing. And she's like, tell the story about that a little bit, BB Nate.
And she reads it, of course, and that's what you're normally supposed to do. And then she goes to the dinner, and she has to act like nothing really happened. And Taylor Gray's like, so what happened? And she's like, I can't tell you. And so it was, she just had to keep a secret for many months, is what she said.
Yeah, so for quite a while she had to keep that secret. And she's, you know, didn't know what the animation was going to be. All she knew was what the script was. And that's actually what triggered the conversation about that tree of trust, or trust tree, or whatever they called it, with it. And part of what she was talking about was that epilogue. So share a little bit more about sort of that whole scenario, Sam, as far as Jason goes. That was what you were going to talk about as far as, like, them freaking out a little bit about Jason Syndulla.
Yeah, so Vanessa Marshall didn't even know about it till they were watching it for the first time a few months later. And, you know, they were talking about how they were in the theater or wherever they were watching it, and they had these night vision cameras and all the cast. And when that scene came up, you know, Vanessa Marshall was saying that she made like a super ugly, like, surprised face. You know, not like it was bad or good or anything. She was just, wow.
Wow, that's a major moment in the Clone Wars right now. Hold on. You know, there's some kind of massive offensive going on. All right.
So she was like, you know, she said it wasn't, you know, necessarily good or bad surprise, but she was, you know, just surprised. And pleasantly surprised, I guess. But I just thought that was cool that she didn't even know about it till she watched the episode later on.
So. Yeah, didn't have any idea what was going on with that. That was a pretty cool one. Hey, maybe Nate, why don't you share maybe a couple or one or two of your like highlights from the panel?
I'm trying to remember. Oh, so there was an action figure at the end. They were letting people go up to the mics. They had a couple mics set up and ask questions or, you know, say some stuff. And this person's like, so 2 years ago at the last celebration, we gave out a few action figures at the Women of Star Wars, and we didn't know that you were going to be on there, and we forgot to give you an action figure. And so they made him a personalized action figure and gave it to him at this panel, which was really cool. He was really honored.
What was his reaction? Like, how did he like... What did he do with it
on his little shoulder and said that he's not going to give any secrets away and started acting like it was kind of a puppet. It was funny. And then they let everybody go after that. But he was just, I think, more honored than anything to have that opportunity. So what's yours, Dad?
Well, for me, the whole series... is the foundation for me is all about the relationship between Kanan and Ezra, almost like a father-son relationship. And so they talked a lot about that in this. You know, it's interesting, you know, Freddie Prinze wasn't able to be at the panel. I actually tweeted, because Vanessa Marshall was talking about this throughout the whole thing. I tweeted to Freddie saying that Vanessa was throwing Freddie underneath the bus, and what did he want to do about it? Because... she was talking about how throughout the entire final season, Freddie kept talking about how he was wanting to be killed off in the show. And if you're a fan, you've watched the show, you know that Kanan Jarrus, Caleb Doom is his original name. You know that Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character was killed off towards in the last portion of the series. And he sacrifices himself to save the Ghost crew, to save Hera, to save Ezra, Sabine, and Zeb. And what I thought was really fun about that was that Dave let it out that he and Freddie had actually been having that conversation and working it into the story and doing things throughout the entire series for all four seasons that would put them in a position to do that at the end. So I thought that was pretty cool. I also, of course, just was really impacted by the storyline as it relates to the sacrifice. It was interesting, you know, I'm trying to find the quote here by Dave. Dave said at one point, as he was trying to describe the whole purpose, and he said this like several times in smaller little sentences and statements here, but this quote from him really sums up what he thinks Star Wars Rebels was all about. It says, fundamentally, it's about becoming selfless rather than selfish. You have to let go of everything you fear to lose. And that's what the whole series was about. It was about Kanan, even in the very beginning, fearing to be discovered as a Jedi and being willing to give that up in order to save, Ezra and stuff early on in the series in the first couple of episodes. And it goes on all throughout this. It's about Ezra in the World Between Worlds. That wasn't actually, we should talk about that too, some of the conversation regarding what he thinks the World Between Worlds is with that he shared about that. Ezra could have tried to save Kanan, but if he does, they all die. And what letting releasing things, letting things go, just allowing it to letting people follow their own path rather than trying to force them to go. So I loved that. That was a huge highlight hearing Dave talk about that. Talk about the World Between Worlds. He mentioned in there that the World Between Worlds might be time travel. He's listened to a lot of theories from other people on it, but he kind of described the World Between Worlds in a really unique way. Does either of you guys kind of remember what that is? Do you remember at all what he talked about when it came to the World Between Worlds?
I remember they said that it is, doesn't matter where it is, just matters what it is.
Yeah. That's all I really remember.
Right, I don't think it's necessarily like a portal in time or anything like that. It could be just in Ezra's mind is what he suggested. He gave lots of different things. But then he also said this, he's like, everything in my stuff, my work that I do, so that applies to Clone Wars, Resistance, Rebels, of course, and I would even assume Mandalorian when that episode comes out, and anything else he's associated with. He said it's all grounded in what George Lucas put out in the original six movies of Star Wars. And he says you can find these things in there. So I'm curious if we are ever going to figure out where the World Between Worlds exists, or the idea for the World Between Worlds comes out when it comes to the original trilogy or the prequel trilogies, because he seems to suggest they were there all along. Any ideas? Do you remember anything in the original or the sequels that could have gone down that path?
I honestly can't. Everything's a bit of a blur at the moment, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, me either. But we'll learn a
little bit about Mandalorian tomorrow.
Yeah, we got the Mandalorian panel to start off the day tomorrow. But, as it comes down to, like, wrapping up our breakdown of Rebels, Remembered, I would say that we didn't get any revelations, but I have a feeling from the way they were reacting to certain things that were being said that there is more to the Ahsoka Sabine Ezra. The one question he wouldn't answer is, where's Ezra? So he's holding that back for something later on. Do you think we're ever going to get like a TV series, a book, comic, one-off Rebels special movie on Disney Plus? Do you think we're going to get something like that tells us where Ezra is?
I think we'll get a book.
A book?
Yeah, I feel like a book would make sense.
I think a movie. He was talking about films a lot in that panel.
Well, that'd be like a live-action movie or an animated movie?
Animated, of course.
Okay.
He was talking a lot about how films continue story. He talked about a lot, like, he likes continuing stories and that kind of stuff. So, I think he's really planning on making a film.
Yeah, but I think the challenge that I have that makes me wonder is, he talked about when he was a kid, this Dungeons & Dragons cartoon series that he used to watch on Saturday mornings. I don't know if it got canceled or if it just ended in a weird way, but he wondered, these kids go into this amusement park, and you never find out what happens to them. And he's like, it's like guided him throughout his, like, always wondering what's going to go on, has actually been a part of why the way he tells stories. So maybe we'll never know. Maybe that's the answer. We don't ever get to find out where Thrawn and Ezra are, but maybe next celebration we'll.
He did say that he can't answer where Ezra is. Like he like, I think he wants to, but it looked like he can't. That's exactly what he said. He said he can't give the answer to that question.
Well, we'll see whether or not it's like he can't because he doesn't have an answer, or he can't because he's not allowed. But someday maybe we'll find out.
Closing ceremonies.
What was that?
Maybe closing ceremonies.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I seriously doubt that, though. All right. So we're going to be trying to do a couple of other episodes today, and got an interview. We're doing interviews tonight with Kevin Scott, who's going to be doing Dooku Jedi Lost. Audio Novel, he wrote that. And we're also going to be doing an interview at the end of the day with Jason Fry the novelist or the author that wrote the Last Jedi novelization. Thanks, guys, so much for tuning in. If you like this, we've got a special offer going on our Patreon page right now. A $10 a month support will get you a lot of perks, but one of them that's special up through May 4th is a special autographed, personalized autograph photo of us from Star Wars Celebration. So we'd love to get you guys in on that. That pretty much sums up this recap of Rebels Remembered. Before we go, is there anything else that you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Oh, I'm going to do... Oh, never mind. Steve Stanton, hold on.
May the Force be with you, always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep. Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment.
Does that include dinner at that new French place?
Yep, 4% cash back there.
How about bowling with my friends?
Yeah, 4% cash back on that too.
Nice.
And that'll be a rewarding weekend. Because with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% on dining and entertainment. So when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.